hearts now. Have your way. Make your word alive in every heart and every life, I ask in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. As these guys are finishing up, I want you to open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I'm just going to read a few scriptures to you this morning. I want to help you make decisions today that will move you into that direction that you need to go. They'll help you and empower you. For the last few weeks, I've been given a list of decisions that you can choose to make that will launch you into that future. And great decisions aren't always easy, but if great decisions are made, if anything has any value in it in our lives, it will never just be easy. It will cause us to have to really work to move forward in that. But the power of the gospel has the ability to change and transform our lives. When we hear it, I read this last week, and then when we do what it says we are called to do. And when we make big decisions, when we make great decisions in our life, we have to make the decision to have influence from others who are connected to our destiny. I don't just ask any Tom, Dick, or Harry for life-altering decisions that I need to make in my life. I ask those people who I know are connected with my destiny and have a purpose in who I am to become. I allow those people into my life. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, people fall. And people fall all the time because they run out and they do things that they think or they feel without getting any wise counsel from anybody else that can help them. And they fall because of that. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. We go through disappointments in our lives when we don't get the help making the great decisions that we need to make in our lives. And so I want to help you with that. And I want to talk just a minute this morning about the decision on to limit unhealthy stress out of our lives. And I'm sure there's no one here that ever goes through any stress in their life. But maybe there's one or two that'll hear this later. Stress isn't always bad. Sometimes stress is very good. The guitars that the gentleman played this morning, if there wasn't any stress on the strings, they would make no beautiful music. If you didn't have stress in your life to cause you to get up in the morning, you wouldn't get up and go to your work or go and take care of the things that you are called to in that day. But if we face stress and the strain of life in a negative way, it will continually have a hindering effect on us. It causes pain. It causes loss in our lives. It affects everything that we go through. It'll give us physical problems as well. It'll have a negative effect on how we spend time with our family. We're always stressed out, always jacked up, always messed up. Do you know it's reported that 85% of all doctor visits are directly related to stress in our lives? And when we respond to stress, you know, the psychologists have called it the fight or flight response. We either fight it or we run from it. It's our body's way of dealing with it and appropriating the proper way to handle it. And anytime we feel like our stress is a sense of threat to us, it will have a debilitating effect on our physical, on our mental, on our emotional, on our spiritual well-being. Symptoms like muscle tension, headaches, irritability, miserable irritability. You don't know the day I've had. You don't know what I've done through. Oh, yeah. Stress, challenges. And then it leads to even more serious problems in our lives. Alcohol dependency, what I just talked about. You don't know. I've got to have this when I get home. I got to have that to unwind. When all the time Jesus is saying, I am the answer to your stress. Loss of sleep, loss of interest. Premature aging, you get hair, your hair gets grayer or falls out faster than it should. And then there's the burned out. I'm just burned out. And there are several things that contribute to that. But Jesus says this in Matthew 6, verse 25. He says, I say to you, don't worry about your life. And we live in a society that's worried about everything. We get worried about what's coming. We get worried about where we're at. We get worried about what's going to happen. And Jesus says, don't worry. What you eat or what you drink or about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than just clothes and going shopping? You should hear one man say amen in that. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? Which of you by worrying could add a cubit to his stature? So why worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, little, you of little faith. And let me just insert this. And when we have stress and we worry in our lives, that maybe it's an issue that we haven't completely put our dependency and our faith in God. That he is going to help us. That he is going to see us through. Therefore, he says again in verse 31, don't worry. What shall we eat? He keeps on going back to, do you think these are carnal desires of the flesh? What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and what we're going to wear. Because it's all about how I feel, and it's all about what I want. He said, after all these things that Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of all things, but seek first the kingdom of God. There's that word that I started out with today. Seek first, put him first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. God wants to lift that unhealthy stress off your life. So how do you do that? You got to make the decision, first of all, to see things from God's perspective. That is so incredible because a great deal of our stress can be alleviated or minimized when we find out that God is in the middle of our lives and he's helping us at every point. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know. This is the faith part of it. And we know. Not that God didn't create all things, but that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his very purpose. And could, in the middle of the stressed out moment in our life, could God be using this for something good? Could, when you get all jacked up over things in your life, could God be in it to want to show you something good? It's no secret. I don't have the greatest patience sometimes in the world. I'm working on it. I'm much better than I ever used to. But there's certain things that just, you know, that just flip my switch. And when I preach a message like this, then I know I'll be tested on it after that. Like, you know, when I'm driving, you know, I'm a great driver. Why am I hearing some people laugh? You hurt my feelings when you do that. But I'm in a hurry. I've got things going on. I'm scheduling, and I'm going from here to there. And in my mind, I know it's going to take this far. You know, and sometimes I got to drive Buffalo, Rochester, and I'll get on the thruway. And then you get behind this person that gets into the left lane that's only for passing lane. I need to write a book. I'm going to get a sign. The left lane is for passing. It's not for you to calmly stroll down the thruway and keep 20 cars backed up behind you because it makes you feel like you're an authority over the world. There, I said it. I got it out of me. Woo! Ah, I'm not stressed. And I'll get behind that, and sometimes, you know, okay, it is what it is. You know, speed limit 65. They're going about 58, you know. And I pause sometimes. I go, okay, God, could you be in this? Could you? It's funny, but could you be in it? Could you be stopping me from something that's down the road? Could God be putting up a roadblock in your life when you think, God, I need to get here. I need to do this. I got to accomplish this. I got to get this done. But could God be saying, hold on a minute. I want to slow you down to keep you from something that may hinder who you and where you're going. Could God be in that? And when we make the decision to see things from God's perspective, it will help us in the process of our life and stress in our life. Make that decision. Make the decision to deal also with unresolved issues and conflicts in your life. Listen, this is a major thing. The people, they go along day in and day out, and they have unresolved issues. They're upset at somebody. Somebody has said something. Somebody has done something. And they never do anything to bring a resolution to it. And can I tell you today that you may be in here, and you may have not done a thing wrong. Somebody's upset at you for something. The best way to deal with that is simply to say, I'm sorry. And take the high road. And let God use you in the middle of it. I said this in the first service. I had a meeting this week with somebody, and they were in the conversation, and they told me that part of their family, they were upset at me because they had contacted me, and I never got back to them. Now, if you know me, you call me, I'll either get back to you, or one of the incredible people in the office upstairs will contact you if I'm just overwhelmed. But he said, you never got back to them. I said, give me their number. I'm going to call them. I called that person up. I said, hi, this is Marty McDowell. Yeah, I know who you are. I heard today I was meeting with so-and-so and said you were upset at me because I never got back to you. And to be honest with you, I don't ever remember you calling me. Well, he said, I did call. Okay. He said, I didn't leave a message, but I called you. Now, there was a million things that went across the vortex of my cranium at that moment. I get 50, 60 calls a day, you know, and you start calling them back, they put you on hold. We want to tell you, you just won a trip to the moon. I don't call that back. I called you, but I didn't leave a message. Oh, now I had the decision to make right then. I could have said what my flesh was pushing me to say. Or what I did say, I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? Because I'm going to take the high road and I'm going to keep conflicts out of my life that create the stress that pushes me lower than God ever intended me to go. You can't fly high if you're carrying the weight of conflict on your life. You have to make the decision to move past the Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every sin and weight that easily ensnares you. Lay it aside. Lay it off. Get rid of it. And if you're harboring hostility and resentment and offense, ask God to help you with the genuine reconciliation that it's going to take. And the Bible says in Romans that it says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Let me tell you something. You got to do what you got to do. That doesn't mean that you're going to be reciprocated and have doves fly out of heaven and have the chorus of angels say, oh, they forgive you and you can move on. That doesn't mean it. But as much as it depends on you, you must seek that reconciliation and conflict resolution so you can move on, get rid of the junk out of your trunk, let it go, lay it aside, and move to the dimension and to the calling that God has laid on your life. And if somebody's done something to you, I love how Jesus describes it. Matthew 18:21. Peter came to him and said, Lord, what he was saying, this guy's ticked me off 8 times and I forgave him 7. I'm done, right? I'm good, right? And Jesus said, after Peter said, how many times have I forgiven him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said, no. 70 times 7. Then he begins to tell him this parable about a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He had to begin to settle of accounts. One who was brought to him, who had owed him 10,000 talents, but he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold, his wife, his children, and all that he had, and payment be made now. You're going to pay up, baby. And the servant fell down before him and said, Master, have patience with me. I'll pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him of all of his debt. What a great story, isn't it? That's beautiful. But it doesn't stop there. The same dude that just got forgiven, the Bible says that servant went out and found somebody that owed him money. owed him 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him. He took him by the throat. Pay me what you owe me. I'm reading what the Bible says. I'm just adding a little bombast to it, but I like it. Makes it interesting. That's how I process. Verse 29, his fellow servant fell down on his feet, begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him in the prison till he should pay the debt. Now, just think about that a minute, logically. If you're in prison, how are you going to pay the debt that you owe anyone? Verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that he had done. And then the master, who had forgiven this guy first, when the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry. He didn't even wait for a response. He delivered him to the torturers. I love how King James and New King James says this. He delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Verse 35. Listen to this. Listen. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother, not just with your mouth, but from your heart. God is calling us to make a decision to move past the pain and the hurt, the offenses, and make the decision to make it right today. Some of you need to do that. We have to make the decision to give everything to God in prayer. Let me tell you something. If you're going to do these things that I just said, you're going to have to pray. Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious for anything, but at everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, not the peace that the world gives, the peace which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds through Jesus Christ. Make a decision to give it all to God. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care on him because he cares for you. And when we release things to God like that, we turn them over to him. The tension will leave your life. The pressure, the stress will come off of your life. And God will begin to liberate you and help you. You have to make the decision as well to trust the word of God in every situation of your life. That's why every decision that I've told you to consider, it's not something you're just pulling out of the air. It's something that's based on God's word to validate, to undergird you. Romans 15:4 says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope from the word of God. Because sometimes you need to take the word of God and lay it right over your situation. Right over it. Psalm 119, 147. He says, I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your words, the word of God. If you're sick, 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that having died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. If you're sick, you got to read what God's word says. I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor, not to take medicine. If you need it, if you got to go, go. But know that God is going to have the end result in your life. Trust him with that. If you're living in fear, Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption by where we cry, Abba, Father. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you and I the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He wants to help you with the stress in your life. If you're lonely, don't look for a hookup. That wasn't in my notes. It just came out of my lips. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. Listen, he will never leave you nor forsake you. You are not alone. And if you're lonely, don't look for somebody else to fill the void. Look unto him to fill that from his word. He says he is with you always. He is with you in the good times, in the dark times, in the tough times, in whatever time. He is there with you always. Come on, can you clap your hands for Jesus on that? He said, if you're discouraged, Psalm 10:17, you hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry. The worst thing you can do is back away from God when you're discouraged. Push into him and he will lift you up. He will encourage you. He'll speak into your life. He'll speak into your situation. He'll speak over your life. He'll bring hope. He'll bring strength. He'll bring courage. He'll bring life. He'll bring the peace. He'll take the stress out of your life. And he'll cause you to treat your spouse better, your family better, your boss better, your employees better. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Come on today. And then the last, make the decision to fellowship with one another. Some people say, well, I don't like to be around people. You better learn to love to be around people, because if you're saved and born again and you die, you're going to be with a lot of people, not just for an hour or an hour and a half, for eternity. Learn to like people. Learn to love them. Learn to be with them. Romans 15:32. Then by the will of God, I will be able to come to you with a joyful heart, and we will be an encouragement to each other. I need you. You need me. You need the person around you. You need to be an encouragement to somebody. You need to get up every day and just ask God, who can I encourage today? Who can I help today? What life can I speak into today? Be an encouragement to each other. 2 Corinthians 7:13 in the Amplified says, therefore we are relieved and we are comforted and encouraged at the result. And in addition to your own personal consolation, we were especially delighted by the joy of Titus, because you have all set his mind at rest, soothing and refreshing his spirit. If one is refreshed, that person will refresh many others. Fellowship provides a remedy for stress relievers. You need that. We need to be together today. You need this time. Don't try to do the minimums when it comes to being with people that love you and that you love. Let it soak in. Connect with people. Don't be the first one out the door today. The first one out never gets the prize. I will watch, see who runs out the door first today. Hebrews 10:25, New International Version, don't give up meeting together. I said this a couple weeks ago. If you're one of those that are looking out the window, well, what's the weather today? It's sunshine, let's go do this instead of church. If it's raining, it's too wet to go. If it's snowing, the roads are too nasty. If it's cold, it's too cold. If it's warm, it's too hot. Always looking for a reason not to connect with the people that God has intended you to. Do you know if you're saved, you're born again, and you die and go to heaven, you're going to be with all these people right now. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter whether they're black, white, brown, Democrat, or Republican. And yes, there are saved people in both groups. We need one another. Come on today. He said, don't give up meeting together. Like the habit for some. I want to encourage you to create a new habit in 2017. Be in the house of God. Be with the people of God. Let God touch your life. Expose your heart. Get into a Bible study. Get into a men's group. Get into a ladies' group. Get into a young adults group. Get into some. Connect. Don't forsake. Don't give up meeting together. But encouraging one another. Encourage one another. And even more so as you see that day. What day? The day of Jesus. Let me tell you something. He's coming again. I said he's coming again. The Bible says he will come on a white horse. He will be wearing a white vesture that's been dipped in blood. And on him will be written the word of God. He'll have a crown of thorns on his head. He is the master. He is Jesus. He is the beginning, the last. He was, he is, he is to come. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is everything that you need. And every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. Come on today. Make that decision. Make that decision. Put him first. Make that decision. The power of your decision will launch you. Some of you dads that came down today, if you'll commit, now you acted on it. If you do what he tells you to do, some of your moms too. In fact, you know what? I want some Leah. I just felt the Lord just push you. Honey, I want you. Robin, I want you. Aaron, I want you. Dee, I want you. You come down here too. Some of you ladies. I had a conversation with a young man this week about being married. I got a few stars. I got a couple stripes, black and blue marks. So you want to go to distance? You love your wife as Christ loved the church, gave his life. He responded as any good man would. Seems like it's an all-woman's world, isn't it? Well, you can look at it that way. But I choose to look at it that God created me to love her as Jesus loved the church. But I want to take it. And maybe I'm not the one to say this. Maybe I should give the microphone to her, but it'd take too much. Wives, you have also a response to your husband to love him, to treat him with honor and respect and to care for him. Maybe some of you wives this morning, you know, you might just be going through some stressful things. You maybe need to make some decisions. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you're just going in 40 different directions and you can't connect. You can't just see one another. You just need some prayer before you leave today. I'm going to open this altar up for the ladies today. Probably should have a cup of bread. And Ryan, why don't you guys go way over there? I'm going to give the men one more shot at it before you leave today. If you've never given your heart to Christ, do that before you leave today. He loves you so much. I want to pray for you right now. And Steve, Amy, Parker, and Paige, I want you to go to the back because you're going to be the exit greeters this morning. I want everybody that leaves, high five them, shake their hands, tell them you guys can go right now. If you need Christ in your life, this morning is your day. Come down and ask one of these folks to pray over you. Moms, wives, if you're here today, maybe you're in that parable that Jesus said you're always worrying about what you eat, what you drink, and what you wear. He wants to help you with that today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to close. Then if that's you, any of those things I said, you come down. Let him help you with the power of your decision today. Close your eyes. Bow your head with me. Jesus, we honor you, we thank you, we praise you because you are good. Ladies, you can come right now as I'm closing the prayer. I just thank you, Lord, for your house. I thank you, Lord, for your purpose, your plan today. I thank you, Lord, for hope. I thank you for life. I thank you for great peace. God, I thank you for helping us with the power of our decisions today. Lord, we're going to be different a year from now. You're going to launch us into a new dimension. You're going to take us farther than we ever thought we could go. Not because of our own ability and strength, but because of who you are, God. I thank you for it. We give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I love you so much. Make sure you say hi to other people before you leave. If you need prayer, you come on down.